In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Two years ago, I experienced some of the healing that we look to today as we commemorate St. Luke the Physician. I had what they call a bilateral knee replacement, where they cut out two worn-out knees with their bone grinding on bone, and they bolt in shiny new medical miracles of ceramic and titanium. Once the rehab and the strong painkillers were passed, and the new equipment settled into the old bones, the relief was enormous. I felt that I'd got my body back. I felt that I'd got my bodily strength back after 10 years of more or less constant pain and deteriorating mobility. I can go hiking now and can easily negotiate stairs, going up pain-free and coming down easily, which used to be even harder. I can very nearly genuflect again, too. And I can't really run anymore because there's no shock absorption in artificial knees. At least sometimes I dream that I'm running and I wake up exhilarated. The joy of this deliverance is one face of healing, and I thank God for it, even though the surgeon and the physios and the health fund were God's agents in this matter. This recovery didn't come as some Christians expect, however, as a miraculous healing apart from any human involvement. The Roman Catholic Church insists on two healing miracles before they'll recognise someone as a saint. But they still run thousands of hospitals worldwide, believing that God typically works through human agents. But healing has another face, real but demanding. God also brings us healing in the form of courage, patience, and grace in the midst of illness and debility, faith and an unexpected confidence, even if we don't get better. God helps us to live bravely and give witness to our faith, and if we die, to do so at peace with God, with the world, and with ourselves. Now, there are plenty of Christians who don't like this particular message. They can't see anything positive coming from illness or injury or in the often long process of recovery. For them, being healed is confined to being cured. With a cure or not getting sick in the first place, seen by people like this as a sign of God's special favour. Donald Trump clearly thinks so, having gotten over COVID really easily. I'd say he's just got excellent genes and that he's statistically fortunate, given that he does no exercise and apparently lives only on cheeseburgers. I guess because you can hold a cheeseburger in one hand while you tweet with the other. Thank you very much. His idea is obviously that being physically able makes you a winner, while being disabled, either temporarily or permanently, makes you a loser. But then there are many others with exceptional ability and promise who have no such good fortune. On ABC Classic this week, the morning's program featured recordings by the cellist Jacqueline Dupré, who, with her equally glamorous young husband, the pianist Daniel Barenboim, electrified the classical music world. Her famous recording of the Elgar Cello Concerto with Sir John Barbarolli and the London Symphony is still widely recognised as definitive 55 years on. Yet at 28, Jacqueline Dupré contracted multiple sclerosis, and apart from a few early remissions, when she could get in and make a recording, her musical career was over, and 14 years later, so was her life. Many of us struggle with these uncomfortable realities and wonder what God's up to, letting the undeserving flourish while the worthwhile and promising are cut down. The Bible asks the same questions, and sometimes believers give truly dreadful answers, with some choosing to blame the victims. A charismatic Christian once told a priest friend of mine who had a little daughter with Down syndrome that his daughter's affliction was God's punishment for his own lack of faith. This priest actually punched this person in a car park, as you do. To be honest, you do find this sort of thinking in the Bible, from a world where no one distinguished divine agency from natural agency. But that's not the whole biblical story about healing. Unlike modern medical science, the Bible recognises that sickness and health are best approached holistically and not primarily as an individual matter. Jeremiah, in our first reading today, sees Israel's natural malaise as a consequence of its abandoning God, which drew from Jeremiah the heartfelt lament, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there?" The writer to Timothy is in the midst of a major church conflict, and it's all very angry and it sounds a bit jumbled. He names names, and his frustrated talk of payback is mixed with practical instructions like, "Bring me the cloak I left behind," all concluding with a testimony to God's faithfulness. Luke the physician is mentioned as the embattled writer's one remaining companion. This Luke rightly remembered as a physician of the soul. We recognise that dysfunction in a community has consequences for individuals in that community who are caught up in it. Now, this is something that God takes seriously and works to overcome through the efforts of people like Luke and the writer to Timothy. The church is a place that God is calling and enabling to be spiritually healthy, and physicians are provided. There is balm in Gilead. Which brings me to today's gospel. Now, St. Francis, who we commemorated a fortnight ago, took today's gospel passage quite literally. He sent out the friars two by two to live in simple solidarity with local communities, embodying the good news of God's love. The healing model here is to live modestly among the people, to draw alongside them with empathy, to help shoulder the community's burdens, and only thus to gain a share in its joys. Now, religious communities committed to hospital and mental health care, and missionary orders and societies have taken this embodied good news around the world. And so has the pastoral approach to Christian ministry, with a parish priest resident in every community. So healing involves the life of communities coming right. And this requires both prophetic challenge and incarnate presence. God wants humans to live in healthy relationships, calling the church to be a witness and agent and proving ground of this healing. And it's here that the connection between forgiveness and repentance and healing shows up clearly. We turn away from selfish and stupid and uncaring behaviours and attitudes as we learn to be generous and compassionate. And then, lo and behold, individuals and situations change for the better. Now, those who resent the poor and who resent others who they condemn as undeserving, as many in America do today, show how a bad spiritual attitude leads to bad health outcomes. No wonder a sick society like the United States has become riddled with chronic physical illnesses, mental torment, endemic depression, and widespread addictions. We see too how pandemics can get away from us. If our primary attitudes are selfish, careless, and greedy, with money and willful self-assertion deemed to be more important than the welfare of others. Look what happens in countries where that's the attitude, especially in so-called Bible-believing America, the land where it's only other people who are sinners. Now, friends, here in the Eucharist, we receive what St. Augustine called the medicine of immortality. This is nothing other than Jesus Christ himself, who in suffering solidarity in life and death, facing the best and worst of humanity, changed the world and us with it. Now, we live at a time when the environment is sick, many societies are sick, and a lot of politics is sick. So that despite the widespread blessing of excellent modern healthcare, there are many whose bodies and minds remain burdened, bearing the cost of wider social dysfunction. Today, however, you and I can rejoice that there is balm in Gilead, that there is a physician there, chiefly Jesus Christ himself, but with him, St. Luke, and many ordinary Christians called to share with God in loving the world back to health. May we who receive the medicine of immortality today, as individuals and as a parish, come to recognise and to inhabit this therapeutic calling. The Lord be with you.